Mr. Ag, Oki Mitchell.
Yep. This is not a sailing club. It's a little bit complicated. Okay, I'm not going to read or try to cover everything that's in the eval. Hopefully, maybe you read it. I'm going to skim through some of that. I don't know that it's all germane to the actual issue here, but I think to understand why this has taken since 2008 till now to get to the commission, you might need to understand some of that background. Having said that, this is an application for Mr. Oki Mitchell. He is requesting after-the-fact authorization to retain previously unauthorized and partially enclosed dual-slip boathouse, some additional decking beyond his original application for the pier, and he's also requesting to relocate the land connection of his pier from property along Grays Creek to his property, which is on a tributary to Grays Creek that's unnamed. All of this is at the end of Blue Heron Drive in Surrey County. His request to retain the boathouse and some of the pier structure remains objected to by the King's Landing Owners Association, which is a subdivision that is landward of Blue Heron Drive and revolves around a piece of property which you'll repeatedly hear me refer to it as the reserve or reserved area of property, which is a common use area at the end of Blue Heron Drive. So having said that, this case does represent a culmination of efforts that began back for us related to this matter in 2008. Mr. Mitchell actually originally applied for a private pier at this location back in 1996. And a pier was constructed at some point after that. There was some additional structures added, as referenced in my description of the project, in later years soon after that. It seemed to exist in relative harmony for a while, although I think there's been some issues about this whole area for quite a few years. The 1996 application indicated just a pier in this general location. It is in your packet, that original application, and you might want to reference packet 2-10. That's the actual drawing of the original application. And as you'll see, if you look closely, there's a note on it from staff, which may be upside down on your page, but that the drawing was a bit misleading. I was not the engineer at that time, the head of this area. But I believe that there were some references in the file that a phone call occurred, and I think whatever issues were related to the deficiencies in the drawing were resolved one way or another, and we did issue a no permit necessary letter as a private pier at that time. So that fast forwards us up to 2008 when we got a request from Mr. Carl Vogelweed in association with the King's Landing Owners Association to review documents related to this pier from the previous application. He did come in the office. We did provide him with information. I believe this was related to the association's review of this area called the reserved area and possible future uses that the association might want to use it for and how this pier that was there might impact those issues. If you look through the eval, there's quite a bit of correspondence back and forth between myself, Mr. Mitchell, Mr. Mitchell's attorney, the association's attorney. Both parties, their attorneys changed over time. We kind of had to start over with the attorneys. There's a lot of language and correspondence related to this reserved area, who owns it, who's got the right to use it. I reiterated in a number of letters that the commission jurisdiction is subaqueous bottom and that additionally, the commission cannot determine riparian areas, which is really the thrust of the issue here is, I think, whether this pier, as currently constructed, whose riparian area it's in. There was some sort of jump-started, failed attempts to start a riparian apportionment, or at least some attempt at that. We did get a document from a surveyor in Surrey who began working on that. That is in your packet, a drawing reflecting that. But no court action has ever been taken on this issue related to a riparian apportionment, which again makes, you know, our job at staff level kind of difficult because, as you know, we can't determine riparian areas, and that is part of the issue here. Again, I'm not going to go through in detail all the stuff in the file. I think it's explanatory as to what the issues are. Again, this project is in Surry County. This is Gray's Creek, which is a tributary to the James River. To the northeast here, you see Scott. That's Scotland Wharf. That's the ferry that goes across to Jamestown at the end of the road here. So you're very near that location. The property is located right here at the end of Blue Heron Drive. And Gray's Creek Marina, which is a defunct marina at the moment, is just downstream of the property. Again, this is an aerial from the VGen series showing the existing structures. This structure is no longer there. I'll address that in a minute related to further narrative of the application. This is the unnamed tributary I was referring to. This is Mr. Mitchell's property up here. He does own this property here. He also owns a large portion of this marsh. This is all just basically marsh over here. And this is a second pier. This is the reserve area property and generally in this location. And the subdivision that accesses this for community use is actually off the slide to the south. And there's a number of residences in that subdivision. This is a picture of Mr. Mitchell's pier as it currently exists. The landward connection that goes off the reserved area. This is an elevated section that was put in. If you look at this slide, you can see that the area between this turn in the pier and the marsh is pretty narrow, so it appeared at the time it was built and approved that this would be the access to actually get into this small creek, which is navigable, but marginally navigable. Therefore, an elevated section was put in the pier, so small craft like kayaks and stuff could go under that at low tide because there's not much water right here. Again, the original application was just for a pier. As you can see in the original drawing, again, 210 in your packet, it doesn't look exactly like this as far as the way it's constructed versus the drawings. But again, additionally, added later was this partially enclosed. This is a dual slip. There is a center walkway in the middle of this. Additional pier goes out into Gray's Creek. This is just a little different view of it, coming right down the reserve property, out, and then there's a section that goes out this way. Mr. Mitchell is requesting to retain all of this structure, but remove the landward connection. This is a drawing that was submitted in an application requesting after the fact authorization to retain that, but also to relocate the land connection off the reserved area property, which we do believe does address one of the concerns of the association related to this structure. It removes it off of the reserved area property, puts it on the Mr. Mitchell's fee simple property. It would actually be a bridge across that unnamed creek over to this marsh, go down the marsh, and reconnect here with this section being removed. And then, of course, the boathouse is off the slide here. Again, there's a lot of information here about contacts between the two parties. There was definitely attempts made by both parties, the association and Mr. Mitchell, to come to some resolution related to the land issues, the riparian issues. There were documents back and forth between the lawyers. Bottom line is, this year we came to an impasse where it did not appear that issue would be resolved in a manner that we felt we could just resolve it by someone agreeing on riparian areas and allowing the structures to remain, which is why we're at this point. I will note that, again, the structure that you saw right here, at the point where I believed we had gotten to a point where maybe we were not going to reach a resolution, I scheduled a meeting with both Mr. Mitchell and the association on the same day but at separate times. to discuss this pier, which is on the reserved area property as well, and we believe we could find no record that it was ever authorized. And to discuss again with Mr. Mitchell, you know, this pier and how we were going to move forward if there was no resolution between the two parties, because it would have to go to the commission as an unauthorized structure for both of them.
Before you go off that slide, show me on there where the realignment.
Actually, I have a slide of that later that I'll show you, but it's basically we go across kind of right in here and run down this marsh and then connect over. But I'll give you a kind of example of what I think it is. It's a rough sketch, but when we get to that. In any event, I met with both parties. At that time, the association said they would like to file an after-the-fact permit to keep this structure. They indicated they did not build it. They believe it was built by a predecessor and title of the subdivision property. But as is our position, when we find an authorized structure, we go to the current owner. It's, you know, they've basically bought or inherited a violation. They indicated they'd like to keep it. They did apply. We did advertise it. There was no objections. And we also got an application, as I noted, from Mr. Mitchell to retain his and to move his structure. We advertised them both. The only objection to Mr. Mitchell's so far has been the association. Nobody else has objected. We did, in an attempt to resolve this one last time, contact both parties after all the public notices were done and offer to put these on as consent agenda items on the commission agenda a couple months ago or in August. With the offer that we would recommend approval of all the structures as they existed with the relocation of Mr. Mitchell's landward connection, with the payment of a $1,000 civil charge by each party, $1,000 from the association for this structure, and $1,000 from Mr. Mitchell to retain his structure and move his land connection over. The association held a meeting of its entire membership, and the membership voted not to accept that, and contacted me and said they were going to remove the pier. And what would that mean? I said, that would mean your violation's gone. That will be resolved. That has been done. They have sent me photographic evidence. That structure is now removed. We have inactivated their application, so that's not part of today's discussion. Mr. Mitchell indicated he was agreeable to the consent agenda item. But my hope was that both parties would agree, they'd both be on the same agenda, they'd both be consent agendas, and we'd get it resolved. Because the association agreed to remove theirs, that was taken care of. Mr. Mitchell was still in agreement, but I recontacted the association to make sure I was clear on what their stance was, and they have indicated that they still have concerns with the structure as it exists. It may adversely impact future plans that they want to apply to do other things at this area, to include possibly a boat ramp, a different pier, and or maybe a marina of some structure of some type. So that's why we're here today with the Mitchell application as an unresolved, unauthorized structure that does have opposition. So, again, this is the proposed realignment of the landward. That's just a cross-sectional view showing the height, minimum of 4 feet. We did ask after Mr. Mitchell applied for an as-built drawing, because we did not have one that showed what was actually constructed versus what he applied for back in 1996. This is what the agent who did the other drawings provided us. I wouldn't say it's super accurate, but because this is not straight, this actually angles off. But these are the dimensions we got. This didn't really give us all the dimensions. So during my site visit with Mr. Mitchell, I actually measured all the structures, and this is my attempt to show you an as-built drawing. I think this angle might be a little bit too much out of straight, but it does angle in this direction, and there's some notch. It's 5 and then 6 feet, and then this is 10 feet. This is the entire structure that Mr. Mitchell is wishing to retain except the landward connection, which would be removed and be reconnected here. So it's a pretty large structure, and in 1996, the boathouse would have required a permit no matter what back then. The pier could have been this large and would have been exempt because there were no size restrictions on private piers back in 1996. But because it's a dual-slip boathouse, it's partially covered, it would have required a permit then, it requires a permit now. It doesn't qualify for the permit exemption. and of course it's protested. This is my attempt to show you about where the proposed alignment would end up, again emanating from the upland here across the marsh to the marsh, which Mr. Mitchell does own this, and then reconnect in this location. And of course this section back to land would be removed. This pier is not there anymore. But he would like to retain the rest of the structure as it exists. So, in light of all of that, I'll just go to the summary and recommendation. Mr. Mitchell is here. There are representatives of the association here. Now, they have indicated to me as late as yesterday that they don't plan to speak, but they might. Their objections are on the record. They are what I stated previously, that they believe that the existence of this structure, you know, may interfere with future uses of the reserve property that they may be planning in the future. I will go back and say that during this process over the last 5 years, there was a tentative indication that the association was willing to live with the Mitchell structure as it currently exists, provided they could come up with an agreement related to this reserved area and the land issues associated with that, which we have no jurisdiction over, provided Mitchell agreed to never expand beyond what was there now. But the most recent correspondence with them is that they still have concerns with this structure remaining where it is, and it may or may not be in the riparian area. Only a court could determine that, and that's been staff's position all along. That remains staff's position today. So with that, this is our recommendation. As noted, despite the length of time spent on this matter by staff, we are still presented with a very difficult issue and a considerable violation associated with the existing structures. The applicant has agreed to remove and relocate the land connection of the pier, which does resolve one of the objections of the association. However, a large pier and a partially enclosed boathouse structure remain in an area that's contested, and unfortunately, the commission cannot determine the legal riparian boundaries. The association does continue to have objections to portions of the pier and boathouse because they believe they may adversely impact future improvements and uses of the reserved area property and or their riparian area. The original application to Mr. Mitchell, which was received in 96 and contains some of the portions of the structure that currently exist, others were installed soon thereafter. Aerial photography indicates that all the structures that are there now were in existence in 2002. How much earlier than that, between that and 96, we're not positive. While we do understand there may have been some issues related to both parties prior to our involvement in 2008, there does not appear to be any record of any legal action by either party prior to this time other than some deeds that were recorded related to the reserve property. We do have concerns that Mr. Mitchell installed structures in considerable excess of his original request. However, he was granted authorization to proceed from VMRC under his original application without the need for a permit. It is possible, and Mr. Oki has stated it to me a number of times, that he did not fully understand that changes after his original application would require additional authorization from the commission since he received a permit exemption in 1996. And the law has changed, of course, over the years related to what qualifies for a permit exemption. Also, while we're sympathetic to the association's concerns, the commission does not have the authority to determine riparian areas, and this matter remains a civil one between the two parties. Therefore, without any definitive court action related to the actual riparian boundaries at this location, we are reluctant to recommend removal of any existing structures. The unnamed tributary of Grays Creek is marginally navigable, but we believe the proposed relocation of the bridge over the tributary will allow sufficient elevation for small craft to traverse that area if necessary. We also believe the request of Mr. Mitchell to relocate the landward connection of his pier is warranted and alleviates at least one objection of the association. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project and after considering all the factors contained in the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the pier realignment as proposed by Mr. Mitchell. We also recommend granting after-the-fact approval of the pier and the dual-slip boathouse, partially enclosed, with an appropriate civil charge of no less than $1,000, which Mr. Mitchell had previously agreed to pay as a consent agenda item. Any commission authorization related to these structures is, of course, subject to any future court action related to any riparian boundaries in this area that may occur. Mr. Mitchell is here, and as indicated, there are representatives of the association. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Questions for Ben? Mr. Erskine?
Ben, this is not a legal matter at this time for the riparian boundary.
Your counsel, but I think you will reiterate that we can't determine riparian boundaries. We do have authority over the subaqueous bottom and what goes there. And this structure is in excess of a permit exemption provided by the code. So it does need a permit no matter what. It needs an after-the-fact permit.
But you're not aware of any court case
I'm
pending?
I'm not aware that there's any pending legal court cases for
okay.
the property.
Okay.
Mr.
Tanker.
I mean, it seems like a lot of goings-on the marsh there to mitigate the problem at hand.
It's an elevated structure, but the movement, you know, he's putting in quite a bit of additional pier, bridge, pier over a marsh. It does meet the requirements as far as height for shading issues and width. But this was Mr. Mitchell's attempt to at least alleviate the land connection, because that's been one of the issues from the very beginning, was that this pier emanated off the reserve property and a contention that he didn't own it, whether he has rights to it, that those are all legal issues which are covered in the file, which we can't determine. But this was his compromise, what do you want to call it, to alleviate that. Obviously, if he were willing to tear all the rest of it down, that would alleviate the other concern of the association. He's not been so far willing to do that, which I think is obvious why. It's a pretty massive structure here. It's been there for quite some time.
Any other questions? All right, let's hear from the applicant. Mr. Mitchell? How about opposition to the? Anyone wish to speak in opposition?
My name is Bill. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
You swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes, I do. I so swear. My name is Bill Goad. I live in First Kings Landing subdivision. I live on Blue Heron Drive. I bought the property there about 5 years ago, 189 Blue Heron, Surrey. Shortly after I moved in, my attention was brought to the issue down at the reserved area. My wife and I drove down there to take a look at what the reserved area and what the access to the creek was, and we were met by Mr. Mitchell and other parties. Subsequent to that, I was elected to the Board of Directors and elected as President of the Board of Directors of the Kings Landing Owners Association. And we had a survey done to find out who was telling what about the reserved area down there, because it was in our deeds that it was going to be deeded over to us from the developer. I know this is not germane to the discussion here, but I just want to give a little background. I began to try to work with Mr. Mitchell back then. Sent him a letter, said we had this plat. It doesn't correlate with what you told us verbally about the property down there. Would you like to have a survey done to verify this? He said he would. He never showed me the survey, and the next thing we got was a letter from his lawyer saying to cease and desist, essentially. But he would like to sit down and talk about it. So I called his lawyer. His lawyer said, sure, let's sit down and talk, and then subsequent to that, they decided not to sit down and talk. Numerous efforts have been made to invite Mr. Mitchell to different meetings to sit down and try to resolve the issue. The subsequent president of the association came along after myself, John Hagen, had several meetings with Mr. Mitchell, and it seemed like there was an agreement hammered out, and there was a handshake deal done with Mr. Bogleweed and Mr. Hagen and Mr. Mitchell. his lawyer sent a draft of an agreement. We were told by Ben Staggs that we need to have some kind of agreement in place on repairing and apportionment done or whatever. We paid a surveyor to go down there and do an initial repairing site survey. Mr. Mitchell didn't do anything on that regards. But his attorney did send us documentation saying this is what we would agree to. He said, sounds good, that's fine, except one little caveat in there, that is that he recognized that we own the property down there, it was deeded over to us, and that there are certain rules and regulations you have to have down there that are in our covenants as far as what we do with that property down there. We began the process of having our lawyer draw up an agreement on our side, and his lawyer was going to do the quit claim. We finally got our lawyer to finish that, sent it over to him, and he changed his mind, and he wouldn't agree to anything. When this whole matter with Ben, when we met down there to discuss the issues the last time, we didn't have any objections. We were going to pay the fine on our pier, whatever it was going to be, and whatever they did with the other Mitchell's pier was up to the BMRC. But we had been told that we had to have an agreement by Mr. Staggs. And there was no such agreement in place between Mr. Mitchell and the Homeowners Association. Nothing. Not. And our concern at that point when we were asked whether we would protest is that we don't have an agreement in place. And as far as we're concerned, Mr. Mitchell, who has built things down there that weren't on his property, who's made different statements over a period of time, and whose last statement was, the only reason I'm moving the pier is just to be nice, we don't know where we're at with it, and we were under the impression we really should, and legally we were told we really should have some kind of agreement down there with him. So we protested because there is no agreement. There is no agreement whatsoever. And we got this letter from BMRC as proposed agreement. There is no agreement. There, you know, plus a pier that we didn't build down there. We were going to be fined $1,000. A structure that had two boathouses on it, or a big boathouse and a landing dock and all the other things, that was going to be fined $1,000. And he had been sitting on that property down there and restricting access for a number of years. His fine was $1,000 also. We didn't feel like we were being fairly treated, number one. And number two, the bottom line was we had no agreement with Mr. Mitchell. So unless somebody else would like to go forward.
Any questions, this gentleman?
I have one question.
Ms. Haney?
Just ask, where is the property line? On the marsh side?
The survey that
compared to...
This is what the survey line was here. The mean low water is probably right around here in that area there.
Could you show us that again? I missed it.
The survey itself of the reserved area runs down here into a point right about there, I think it is. And then it goes back over to here, and then it comes down there. The mean low water is somewhere right around this area here. Because of all these issues, and because we just want to be done with this. I mean, this has been going on long enough. I mean, we have not been able to do anything down there development-wise because this has been pending. We've had estimates done and what have you, but we have not pursued it because this is pending. We took the pier down, the structure down there, because everybody in the neighborhood is tired of this. And the majority of the people in the neighborhood said, let's just be done with this. Take the pier down that we didn't even build, and we'll start all over again. And that's our intention. Now, the other issue about that big structure sitting in the creek right next to our property, it's a fair question. There has been no repair and reapportionment. Well, we've already spent about $8,000 or $10,000 on lawyers to try to resolve this thing, and that's another chunk of money for a small subdivision. So it should be a handshake. It should be something you can just get an agreement to and go on with life, but that hasn't been the case. And as you can tell, we're a little frustrated.
Thank you.
Question.
Mr. Tanker.
So if you were to sum up, what would you like to see happen here as an association and president of the association, so I understand?
I'm not the president now, John Hagan is, but our contention is if we can have an agreement, essentially in my words would be to play nice, we would be okay to go forward like it is. We're not out to punish Mr. Mitchell whatsoever. We just need to have some recognition that there's an agreement in place. I mean, the homeowners in there, they've been through a lot over this whole matter. We had a crew of 10 people go down and tear this other pier down just to be in good graces with BMRC so that our hands are clean. We haven't done anything wrong down there.
Right.
We've inherited all of this. And Mr. Mitchell's been down there acting like this land is all his, even until the time when I went down there and was met by him. So we would if we can get some kind of agreement, speaking personally, if we had some kind of agreement, and I think everybody's agreed, we would be happy to go forward and let everything stay like it is except the pier realignment. With no agreement, as far as I'm concerned, tear it down, period. I also might mention this is a community area down there. What we build down there is to be used by everything in that area, everybody in that area. It will be available to him to use. What he's built down there is far greater and far more than what we would put down there for the whole community. So,
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak in opposition?
The agreement he was referring to is 12-2. That was the proposed agreement. It is in the packet. It was signed by the association. Mr. Mitchell did not ever sign that. And that survey that he referenced, which is in your packet, I did talk to the surveyor. I did have some issues with that survey because the boundary lines go so far out past Mr. Mitchell's pier. As you heard Mr. Goad say, the Nemo water does not go out that far. So if it ever did, which I don't think it did, that those property lines are questionable, but again, we can't determine property lines. And there is a riparian issue here as to where the riparian area is. It's pretty complicated because of the way the property is oriented. Mr. Mitchell owns property over here, so he has riparian rights here. He owns property here, so he has riparian rights here. The association, or whoever owns this piece of property, has riparian rights which, you know, wrap around and go out here. So without an apportionment, this is a nightmare to figure out who's riparian and who's where. I would say that commission action to approve, not approve, for him to tear some of it down, would all still be subject to a future agreement that they could come to related to the structure. We can't make that agreement for them. And
even if we were to approve something here today, it could be altered by a court decision.
Yes. Court apportionment here could result in portion lines that show encroachment of structures, which could result in the judge saying they have to be removed, or that they could stay, or they have to be partially removed. But that would be the judge's decision, not ours.
Right. Mr. Mitchell, do you wish to respond to anything you've heard today?
Yes, sir.
Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Please state your name.
Oki Mitchell. 640 Blue Run Drive, Sir, Virginia. All this started back when Stanley Rokoski, he bought the property from Ernest Goodrich. It was a reserved area there. Well, nobody owned the reserved area. I got a permit to build my pier. Stanley was down there when I built my pier. He never objected. If he owned the property, he never objected to me putting my walkway there. Instead, he got my contractor to build his illegal pier without a permit. Ernest Goodrich, who owned all the property, he saw all this was coming down, and he's got a quit claim deed here from him. Of course, he's deceased now, so is Stanley. And this is a quit claim deed, if y'all would like to see it.
If we see it, we have to keep it.
You can keep it.
All right. We'll take a look at it.
Okay.
Anything else?
Okay. And they had a lawyer write him up a special warranty deed. And in the subdivision statements back here, Stanley put in there that when all the lots were sold and when he felt the time was right, he was going to deed that property to King's Landing. Well, he never owned the property, so he just used that as a selling point to sell his lots. So then they went, and we were having all this problem, and they went and had this had this special warranty deed written up and had that recorded. The same thing that Stanley had written in the statement for the subdivision. All right, they... So we contested that anyway. We were going back and forth. They were sending me stuff to sign. There was one thing, was about seven different things. And it was in there that I wouldn't use, that I would give up all my rights to the reserved area and wouldn't challenge their deed in a court of law. So that kind of told me something there. But anyway, this thing's been going on. Like I said, I spent upwards of $10,000 too. And I'm not going to agree that they own, a judge is going to have to tell me that they own that property before I'll agree to it. Because I just don't think that they do. So that's where we stand.
Any questions of Mr. Mitchell? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
The matter's before the commission. This is confusing at best.
Mr. Commissioner, I guess I go back to the question I had for Ben before, and that's that this is seems to be more of a legal matter. I understand our jurisdiction, and there are some issues here, but I'm concerned that any decision that we may have here today is really contingent upon what the courts have to say. So that's my comment.
further Thank comment. You. Although, when you kind of think about it, what we have here in front of us is perfectly legal, if in fact we seem to know that it's true that Mr. Mitchell owns both pieces of property. He can go across the creek and then to his dock. So we can do that.
But I guess when you look at 12-3 and apparently the survey, which may be in question itself, seems to be that the existing structure is not on his land.
Okay, so my comment is we have to do something because we have a dock there that isn't properly permitted, according to staff. It did not follow the... So we have to do something about that dock, either after the fact permit or something is required for that boathouse. The civil penalty, whatever, but there's some decision that VMRC has to make about that dock.
I would agree that that's why it's here. We feel like the commission needs to make some decision. I guess one decision is not to make a decision, but and that the property survey you see is, you know, that's one surveyor's interpretation of where he thinks the boundary lines are. I don't want to comment too far on that because I don't think we can determine those boundaries, especially when they go out in the water the way they're shown on that property.
Mr. Grandis? So,
yeah, I think staff and others have correctly stated the legal principles here. This commission has no authority to determine private property rights with respect to upland property boundaries or riparian areas. Only a court of competent jurisdiction can do that. The issue here today is, or the question for the commission is, what is a reasonable use of state-owned bottomland? They issue a permit for that use, and the permittee operates pursuant to that permit at his own peril. If in the future a court of competent jurisdiction determined that a structure was placed outside his property or riparian area, a court could order the permittee to do whatever's in the court's discretion, including remove the structure.
That makes it clearer for me.
We have a boathouse that was built without proper permit.
If we approve this, as you say, the applicant accepts it at his own peril. A court could come along and say, well, you're in the wrong riparian area and require removal. But
To be clear, I don't represent the permittee or any opponent to the project, but that's my understanding and my opinion of legal precedent on this issue.
Right. So, I do believe if we will move this one step further along if we make a decision today.
And staff's recommendation is to approve this along with a civil penalty of not less than $1,000. So they didn't actually give us a number that they recommended for this particular case.
The reason we don't normally give you a number at all anymore because you have the matrix, but because we had previously offered a consent agenda at $1,000, we thought we needed to tell you that, and he's agreed to that. But we also said, it's still up to the commission. You can do no civil charge, $1,000 more. Of course, they'll have to agree if you go higher. He is. I've talked to him this morning. He's still in agreement with $1,000. But other than that, I can't speak for the applicant.
Mr. Commissioner?
Mr. Erskine.
I don't know if maybe this question for Ben, but currently how is the structure utilized? Is there still Mr. Mitchell has access to?
Yes.
That
I don't think anybody's restricted anybody's access to go to the reserved property.
Mm-hmm.
There's a road, and it's open. To get to the reserved property, you go past Mr. Mitchell's house. So it's just down the hill. Mr. Mitchell had put a gate up on his pier at some point to keep people from using it because he deemed it was his pier. But that's the section he's willing to move off, and attach it to his property. He does not live there full time. He has another piece of property, and I think the boathouse is used intermittently by him and his family.
I think the staff has it right on this. I think they've thought it through, and as you've said, let's move this along.
Right.
And if the folks aren't happy with it, they always have the right to go to court for a riparian apportionment and see what happens there.
Yeah. I will make a motion to accept staff recommendation as an after-the-fact approval of the pier with the civil charge of $1,000.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Second by Dr. Neal. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries unanimously.